I wonder how you feel about the new government delaying the promises they gave to raise our financial support to world aid. Australia was giving 0.3% of our gross national income. Now, I had to think about this for a while. Our gross national income is our income, a nation. For every $100 we got as a nation, we gave to world aid 0.37%, which is not, that's not, so for $100, it's not $1, it's less than $1, it's 37 cents, okay? So every $100 we gave 37 cents. Both sides of politics, Labor and Liberal, made a commitment to raise it to 50 cents. So for every $100 we give 50 cents. The United Nations believes that rich countries should give 70 cents per 100, 0.7%. The government will cut $4.5 billion from Australia's aid program over the next 4 years, including cutting, these are huge numbers, aren't they? They're $656 million from the budget this year, which means that we reduce our income from that $100, we're going to give 32 cents to world aid. I've got a little graph here on the slide. There it is. And so the goal for the UN is saying 7.7%. Now, we've got the green ones who are doing really well. They're doing the 7.7% of their income. And then we've got Belgium, Finland, Ireland, UK. UK are beating, the Poms are beating us, can you believe it? Switzerland, France, Spain, Germany, Canada, Austria, Australia, New Zealand. That's Australia's in the red, the red one there.
Yeah,
I thought that was still Australia. No, it's Austria. But since we've cut our aid, we're actually going under New Zealand. New Zealand's beating us. Which is a bit disappointing, isn't it? Last year, Australian overseas aid helped, among other things, to immunise 2 million boys and girls against killer diseases. It gave more than 1 million children a quality education, provided safe water for 2.5 million people, improved sanitation for 1.6 million people, provided life-saving assistance to 16 million people caught up in conflict and crisis. Money will be taken from that to be put in our roads in Australia. Sydney, Brisbane and Melbourne will get better roads. And I don't think anyone could deny that because of that, people will die in third world countries. It's been sad. I think one of the saddest things for me is to hear people say, oh, foreign aid, you know, like, we can't trust that anyway. It all goes to corruption. It all goes to... that by focusing on the, and sure, there's some abuses, we can't deny that there's some abuses, but by denying that, by focusing on the abuses, it gives people an excuse why not to give. When it comes to being generous, governments are free to do what they want. A government is free to do whatever they want because governments do not recognise Jesus as Lord. Do you realise that? Governments do not recognise Jesus as Lord. Governments are not Christian institutions. Where we can seek to influence our government, that is good. That's a good thing to do. But the government is not an institution that follows the commands of Jesus. So let's focus on a group of people that make their decisions based upon the teaching of Jesus. Any ideas who that might be? Us, aren't we? Aren't we people who base our lives on the teachings of Jesus? A couple of passages of scripture. I don't think I really need to read them, but let me read them anyway. Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously to him, and that's your needy brother, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. Or Proverbs 22:9. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Or 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man, a person, should give what he decides in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There is no doubt that for those who follow Jesus, I'm talking specifically to you guys who follow Jesus, your command is to be generous. Colossians chapter 3 tells us that greed is idolatry. Do you remember that 80s movie, Wall Street? What was the catchphrase there? Greed is good. The Bible says greed is idolatry. You're worshipping another god. Alan read that passage, didn't he? We can't worship God and money. I remember someone saying, the only antidote that we have to greed is to give generously. Think of the rich young ruler who wanted to inherit the kingdom of God. His love for money was greater than his love for God, so when Jesus said, give away everything you have to the poor and follow me, he realised the truth that you cannot worship both God and money. Imagine for a moment you're on a committee or a mission agency. We are a mission agency. A person comes before us with wanting approval. They lay before you the gospel message. They're completely in agreement with what we understand the gospel message is, what the Bible says. You have no doubt that this person is called by God to go on mission. There is not one thing you'd add to them in theological position. You stamp the file approved. They're going to go a distance where communication is almost impossible. I wonder what piece of advice you'd give them before they go. Remember to... what? What do you think? Well, what about remember the poor? Because that's what the Bible says. I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. James, Peter and John, this is Paul speaking, those reputed pillars, gave me, Paul, and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognised the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. I wonder if you've ever thought about it. It's certainly wondering, why is it so important that when you have a life transformed by the gospel message that we have to remember the poor, we have to be generous? Most commentaries do agree that they were probably talking about the poor in Jerusalem. We do know that there was a severe famine in Jerusalem at the time, and Paul was involved in going to the churches to raise funds for their help them. The gospel message means that we have a very strong bond with each other. We can't let each other go hungry while we've got food on our tables. We can't ignore the needs of our community. The gospel message is the message of love given to us. So how can we not love others? It is, however, not limited to care to believers, because Paul will later say, he says, yeah, believers have a priority, but chapter 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, yeah, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The importance of being generous and mindful of the poor seems to be important under both the Old and the New Covenant. It's something that the people of God are to be doing. Just think for a moment. Under the Old Covenant, they were told to bring a tithe in, weren't they? They would bring a tithe into the storehouse. Do you think God would look upon the person who was giving the tithe into the storehouse, you know, under the Old Covenant? He'd look at them and say, boy, that person's being generous. But have a think about it. Would God say, boy, that person's being generous? I don't think so. I think that's what they're required to do. I looked up the word generous in the Bible. It says, in the dictionary, showing a readiness to give more of something as money or time than is strictly necessary or expected, showing kindness towards others. Bob recently spoke about giving in the financial needs of the church community, and you can listen to that talk, you know, online. You go to our church website, and under Sermons 2013, you'll find it there. For generations, Christian people have thought it best to follow the tithing principle, to give a tenth of their wage to provide for the support of the church. Now, there's no hard and fast rules here. On the New Covenant, we have no requirements. There's nothing incumbent upon us in a set amount of money. We don't have to give a certain amount. But it's a good principle to follow. The money we collect through that box down there or through electronic banking is for the care of our community. This is how we care for one another. This is how we have lights on. You happy that you got lights on today? Yeah, probably you came tonight, you'd even be happier. A bit later, you'd probably be happy we've got a toilet at the back. And that's all through the care of the community, the funds we raise amongst each other. I need to be careful here, but that's not necessarily generosity. That's just what we are to do for one another. That's what we are required to do, to care for one another. Generosity is when we go beyond that. I once met a man claiming to be a Christian that made a deal with God that he would sow if God allowed him to reap. Let me say it a different way. He said, if God gives my business more income, I will give God some more money back. You know, I'll pay back for that. He was proud of the fact that he made a commitment to God that he'd sponsor children depending on how much his business made. I can't be certain of the figures, it was a while ago, but I'm pretty sure it was something like for every $100,000 he earned, his business earned, he'd sponsor one child. Now, a couple of years back then, it was one child was $360 a year. So for $100,000, if God gave him, for every $100,000 God gave him, he will sponsor one child. Do you think that's generous? Actually, I think it's pretty weak. So if he got $1 million a year, he'd sponsor 10 children and it cost him $3,600. I did the sums, actually, and it's more generous than the Australian government. It's 0.36%. Well, Jesus was most critical of those whose heart is full of greed. Okay? Luke chapter 10, verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him, so he went and reclined the table. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus had not first washed before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now as for what is inside, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Paul gives a direction to Timothy. We know about Timothy, he was a young, timid sort of guy. And you know what he had to do? He was told to go to the rich people and command them to be generous. Would you like to do that to anyone? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? This young, timid guy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Let me read it. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. One of the very real problems that we face in Australia is that everyone here is rich. I understand we've got some people, even in this room, that some people have got a lot of money and some people have got less money. But in our society as an Australian, we are very rich. No Australian needs to pay for education. No Australian needs to pay for immunising their children of diseases that will kill them. That's free. That comes free. In fact, they push it. We know they push it. When we think of the public services that we have, hospitals, police, fire, ambulance, education, Centrelink, public houses, these are things in other countries you often have to pay for. That's what you pay for. We've been focusing on water recently, raising money for the Walk to Water. We have so much good clean, we have the best quality clean water in the world. We've got so much of it that we can flush it down a toilet, while people over in other countries have to drink filthy water. With our safety net of welfare payments, people in Australia who need help from the government to live will be given that help. We know that it won't allow them a posh life, but it provides the basics of life. I was thinking about even the kids like Ronick, who left us this week, who had no parents to care for him, are cared by a network of people sponsored by the government and authorised by the government. What chance would a child like that have in India or Africa or some parts of Asia? For us who live in such a society, Paul tells us, and this is the hard bit, not to put hope in what we have, not to put our hope in this world and the riches that we have, but we are to be rich in doing good works. We as a church have been supportive of the Baptist World Aid sponsorship program. It's not the only program, and actually I'd encourage you to do any one of them, but child sponsorship is a wonderful idea. But say we're going to focus on Baptist World Aid. It provides, it's a program that provides so much more than food and clothes, that seeks to develop communities. Imagine the number of people who would try to come to Australia on boats, how many more would come if programs like Baptist World Aid didn't exist, eh? Child sponsorship. Any parent, and a lot of you here are parents, you would do anything to live in peace, to provide the basics for your family, have your kids educated. None of us would risk a boat trip in an open sea if we could already have them. It's only when they've got nothing to lose and everything to gain that people risk their lives in such a way, risk the lives of their children. The woman in the clip, I think her name was Kabali, struggles to send her children to school because she has to pay for it. There must be times when she has to think, do I go without food or do I pay the school fees? Don't think it's a private school. I mean, everything's private, isn't it, there? That's the only option you have. She has extra work chopping wood to pay for the books. She said there was no help from anyone. How could she imagine a country that has Centrelink and government support? It'd be amazing for her. Our struggle is that we can be overwhelmed so easily. We see the poverty out there and we're just overwhelmed. Paul tells us in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary of doing good, in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. I'd like to read a part of a letter we received recently from our child sponsor in Uganda. She said, at my home, my mother is in a self-help group and we got seeds for vegetables and now we eat at home. Well, where did she eat beforehand? My dream is to become a nurse in the future. We drink clean water now in our community. Did you get that now bit? We now drink clean water in our community. Thank you for your support. Child sponsorship is a way to help children, a family, a community. And Baptist World Aid is a fine organisation, trustworthy organisation that we've had a lot of history with. We can trust them and I would commend them to you. Today I do have two children. If you'd like to have a look, I'll leave them up here. Let me know if you do want to sponsor them. That fella's name, I just could not even... I'll spell it to you. ILANGESHWARAN. So, here's the IG. IL. ill. Ill and, yeah. But he's from Sri Lanka, born in 2003, which makes him 10. This lovely face, Helen, from Zambia, born 2002. There is ongoing costs here, and all the information there. It's $54 a month for sponsorship. $44 a month for regular sponsorship. And but, you know, we're here, aren't we? Even today, we're talking about this because we've been shown love and mercy beyond what more. And I know that the folk that come from different countries here, you know better than me. I have visited some of these countries where this sort of thing happens, and but you guys who come from other countries know the hardship that people face. And so that'll be there for you later if you're interested. But we're talking about it because of the love of God shown to us. Let me just pray as we come towards the end of our time together.